Good morning again. You're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show here in Highland Radio. Coming up very shortly, we've got Community Garda information where you hear the very latest appeals and information from an Garda Síochána first here on the 9 till noon show. A caller says, I wish to remain anonymous, but can tell you that I work within the services. And I can tell you, Greg, staff are being assaulted on a regular basis. After being assaulted, it's a lengthy process in trying to get paid properly. So that's in the... as it relates to the conversation just before 10. If you are working in those services and there's a story that you believe needs to get out, please feel free to contact us in confidence and we shall do that for you. Council should supply dog bins like every other country. Is that in relation to the dog poo in Drumbo Woods? I mean, we've had in the past dog bins and they got full and then people hung the bags of dog poo on the bins. We've also had situations in the past where people were putting their dog poo in bags and then chucking it over the wall into a graveyard. This is a problem where the poo's actually just on the ground, right? So no one's even trying to pick it up. They're just letting their dog run on the lead, poo, and not worry about it. And we heard from our listener a little earlier on that she and her sister and their children went walking through Drumbo Woods and they came back and the pram was covered in dog poo, the boots and shoes were covered in dog poo, and only they had water in the car they were able to wash it off. Greg, how does the letter from the Health Minister to the Taoiseach end up in the public domain? Have we got a leak in the Cabinet or was it deliberately leaked as part of a government strategy of some sort? I don't think it was an accident, right? Because this is a letter that's quite critical of BAM. And I think that if it is released, it kind of maybe takes the criticism away from the government and onto BAM potentially. So I can't say that it was released on purpose, but you know... I think you're on the right track. Thanks, Greg, for giving the truth about Israel killing innocent people and our own government standing by for fear of reprisals from America, etc. I'm switching between topics here. I jumbled them by mistake. This is back to dog mess. Regarding the dog poo, please add to take home with them here at Dunree Beach. They hang on the fence and throw into horses and lambs in the next field. So that's, I didn't see this text in advance. That's exactly what I was talking about. So dog owners are being responsible enough to clean up the poo, but then they're hanging them on the fence rather than taking them in their own car or throwing them into horses and lambs in the next field. That's at Dunree Beach. So they're halfway there, folks. You've done really well. You were seen picking up the poo. Take it home. But having said that, maybe a bin might be useful. I used to blame the men for not cleaning up after their dogs. Okay, sorry. I used to blame the men for not cleaning up after their dogs, but I've changed my mind. I was out walking yesterday and met a man with a big dog and he was scooping up afterwards. Then 3 minutes later, I met a lady with a small dog who was doing his business, but she ignored it and walked on. I didn't want to confront her. But what was her mindset? Like, how can you stand watching your dog poo in a place other people will walk? And I don't know. Bad dog poo and inch walk as well, apparently. So it's not obviously unique to Drumbo. That was just our listener's unique experience. Just to follow up on the person chatting about dogs in walkways. I was in Town Park yesterday evening at 5 p.m. I did a few laps of the park. Two ladies with a dog loose on each lap. The dog barked at most people it passed. An elderly lady was distressed as it ran up to her barking. The lady just apologised and walked on. They were not young girls, so can't blame young people for not being considerate of elderly. And I have so much respect for dog owners and I love the fact that they've got this relationship with their dogs, but we don't have that relationship with your dog, you see. And that's the penny that doesn't seem to drop.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 9126025.
All right, Tuesday, the 24th of September, 2024, our latest edition of Community Garda Information. And in studio with me from Falkara Garda Station is Garda Niall Maguire. Niall, thanks so much for calling up.
Thank you for having me, Greg.
A bit to get through, so we'll get straight into it. And an appeal in relation to a fatal road traffic collision now.
Yeah, your listeners will be aware of this one that occurred on Wednesday, the 18th of September. An elderly gentleman who was a pedestrian was involved in this incident. He was struck by a van in Clonmany at 6:20 p.m. at Anna on the R238. Like I say, he was a pedestrian and unfortunately was fatally injured. He was in his 80s. So my colleagues in Moncrana would once again like to appeal for anyone that witnessed this accident or anyone that travelled on the R238 in Clonmany on the 18th of September in the evening time that had dash cam, maybe could they make it available to my colleagues in Moncrana, and they can be contacted on 074 932 0540. And indeed, any of the appeals today, Greg, the confidential line on 1-800-666-111, or indeed any Garda station or any Garda.
Yeah, they just want as much information as is possible. Investigations ongoing into a theft in Dookery.
Yes, this, I don't know, was this taken from a house under construction or an existing dwelling, but it was a Grant condensing oil burner, a very popular oil burner, was taken from a house in Rarick na Shipple in Dookery between 3 p.m. on Friday the 13th of September and 9 a.m. on Monday the 16th of September. So again, my colleagues in Milford are investigating this one, and they can be contacted on 074 915 3060. That's a Grant condensing oil burner. So if anybody comes across one that maybe is for sale or has any information that can help us out recover that, please get in touch.
And we do have to be conscious of any potential trends as we're heading to winter. We do see a higher instance of the likes of oil burners, and they're very high value items now as well, and home heating oil. It is just a trend as we head towards the darker evenings, Niall. So just to ensure that we treat them as we would a valuable in the house.
Absolutely, so,
you know,
Greg.
Whether it's indoors or outdoors.
Yeah, you're right. It's this time of year, and again, like, you know, burglars, you know, traditionally when the darker evenings come in, like we've been here many, many times, many winters before, and it's a trend that that does happen. Now, in relation to further on down, there was a lot of break-ins in Letterkenny last week. There were seven, I think, in commercial premises in the town. And yeah. I suppose there is a fellow in custody at the moment for that, Greg. He's in Letterkenny being interviewed, and hopefully will be going to court at some stage today. So that one was solved.
Right, okay. And of course, too, you know, maybe now's the time to consider maybe getting an alarm that you can put on your oil tank or what have you, that will alert you to your phone if it's drained very quickly. It's also good for identifying leaks and what have you. Criminal damage in Old Town in Letterkenny is next, Niall.
Yeah, this is one of three, Greg. I'm not suggesting they're connected, but there's three cars I'm appealing for information on today that were damaged, three separate incidents. We're no stranger to making these kinds of appeals here. It's like a car's an easy thing to damage, Greg. There's so many of them about. But the people are being caught for these, and they are being brought to court. And you know, a lot of the time, it's the members of the public and listeners to your own station, Greg, that give us nice tips, you know, and lead us to bring in the offender to justice. So this first one happened at Ross Sulia in Old Town, Letterkenny, between 7:30 p.m. on Sunday the 22nd of September and 1 p.m. on Monday the 23rd of September. A car was parked at that location and damage was caused to the rear passenger door between those times. It appears to have been sort of kicked in, Greg, and damaged, so that would be quite expensive to fix. So the guards in Letterkenny would like to hear from anybody that maybe could help us with that one, and they can be reached on 074 91 67100. The next one, Greg, is a criminal damage to a vehicle on the early hours of Sunday, the 22nd of September, between midnight and 9 a.m. in Lifford. A car was parked at Bridgeview Apartments and the rear windscreen was smashed between those times. Again, Letterkenny can be contacted if you can help us with that one. And the third one was a sunroof was broken on a car in Portsallan on Friday the 20th of September between 8:15 p.m. and 8:45 p.m. A car was parked at the pier between those times, so when the owner returned, the sunroof was smashed in. Again, a very expensive repair for that individual. So anybody that can help with them, contact any Garda or any Garda station.
Yeah, and I can't believe next we're going back to another appeal as it relates to, you know, religious grounds, religious property.
Yeah,
it seems to be weekly. I don't know if this is in the same vein or not.
No, it's not, Greg. This is in relation to, this is going back some time now, and I'm guessing the fact that it's gone back to July and we're making the appeal now means that this hasn't gone the way that we would have liked.
It's a renewal, effectively, potentially.
Yeah, yeah. There may have been other information in relation to this that hasn't worked out. But anyway, it was a grave, a newly installed grave surround at St Mary's graveyard in Remelton on Friday the 26th of July. The damage was reported some weeks later. It was a surround, it was damaged. It's possibly accidental, Greg. It seems to be maybe a vehicle, because you can have vehicle access to that graveyard. Somebody may have reversed and maybe knocked into this or whatever. So we would like to think that it was accidental. I'm just appealing to people's good conscience. If maybe they have any information in relation to this, or they maybe want to, because it's very stressful for the family involved, you know, to have a grave damage like this. So Garda Rachel Carlin and Milford would love to hear from anybody that can help us with that the graveyard in Remelton on Friday the 26th of July.
Yeah, between 10 and 11 p.m. And as you say, someone may have been doing a U-turn or something and never realised.
It is a very tight space there for turning, Greg.
If you come forward, I can actually understand why it would be distressful to the family and your colleagues looking to bring that to a close. Okay. Right, you were referencing those arrests. Just to recap that, because it's always a good opportunity when we can get updates and operations. And for operational reasons, often we can't. So we welcome Niall when we can.
Yeah, I suppose in relation to the people were horrified that there were seven premises broken into, a lot of them on the main street in Letterkenny last week. And I suppose a lot of the times, like myself and my colleague coming on here, and we're appealing for information in relation to burglaries and all sorts of crimes. But, you know, it's nice to just remind ourselves now and again about the ones that are solved, you know. And a lot of them are solved, but we don't often say that, you know, because, you know, they are before the courts, and we're limited things that we can say in relation to it. But mm-hmm. There is a guy in custody there this morning, Letterkenny, and I'm hoping that he will be brought to court today and charged.
Right, okay. Now, there's been sporadic instances of dangerous driving around the county in recent weeks. Our focus is on one in Buncrana. What do we know, and how can people help now?
This particular one in Buncrana is solved as well, Greg, and it's solved by the assistance of members of the public who rang in and basically gave us the information we needed. So people may be aware of this. This was a video during the rounds, Greg, a couple of young fellas in Lexus cars that were on Lower Main Street, Buncrana, on Friday the 20th of September. They appeared to be going to some kind of Debs or whatever. They caused a lot of nuisance and upset to the people in Buncrana on that day. They thought it was a bit of fun themselves, but obviously not. The video did do the rounds. Two young men were arrested, and they're now been dealt with.
A similar progress by their colleagues in Milford as well.
Yeah, this happened last night, September 23rd. There was a lot of again, young male drivers, and they were diffing and doing donuts and stuff on the road, Greg. And again, this is the members of the public that rang in and gave us information. And there's a young chap arrested, and the car was seized. The car had no roadworthiness certificate, no tax or insurance. So that's, thank God, another dangerous driver off the road.
It's very frustrating, isn't it, given the all too regular reminders we have of how dangerous the roads are, that we still see this kind of horseplay on the roads. Now, obviously, you know, this is driving in a particular area, but who's to say that such behaviour wouldn't be replicated, you know, on a straight stretches or elsewhere? It's frustrating, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I don't know what it is, Greg, but they're getting very emboldened in relation to these kind of things. It used to be happening on a back road in the middle of the night, but now it's even happening during the day. I was speaking to a nurse in the hospital there recently, and she was saying that they can hear, it's very upsetting for patients even in the hospital at night time, and they hear these cars diffing on the roundabout near the hospital, you know, at 2 and 3 in the morning. People are ailing and they're trying to get a bit of respite, you know. So it's just the frustration and the annoyance for other people, and it takes up a lot of our time, you know. And it's you know, it's ruining young people's future as well, because, you know, there's a possibility to be dragged before the courts and get a conviction out of it, you know.
No Australia, no America, none of that.
Yeah.
And as well as that, Gardaí can't be anywhere, and you just get a sense of part of it's a cat and mouse game as well, if yeah. you know what I mean. So
yeah, and a lot of these end up on the internet. You know, they're making these social media videos, and you know they're not afraid to be you know, trying to cover up their registration plates or their faces or whatever, you know. And some people brag about it and stuff, and like there's loads, and like the courts, go down to the courts there today, and like the courts follow these types of behaviour that are caught by the garage, and they've been caught on a daily yeah. basis, yeah. you know. That leads us on, I suppose, to the next bit about in relation to social media and videos and stuff. The guards had a campaign. I think you had Pat McGlynn up last week
indeed,
talking
yep.
about this, and I just wanted to mention it again because Gráinne put it on the Facebook page. It's called the We Don't Want This series of short films, and they were launched by the Chief Superintendent Grady Sheridan on Century Cinemas on Letterkenny on Tuesday the 17th of September. So these are short films that are in relation to peer-on-peer violence, and they take it from the point of view, the perspective of the victim, the child, the perpetrator, the parents, and then unfortunately the guards' perspective. And it's basically peer-on-peer violence that's been videoed. We've seen it happen. This is not a new phenomenon, but it's there has been a couple instances in Donegal in the past that have hit the headlines.
Well, there was one 2 days in Ballybuffet before the launch of this campaign.
That's right, Greg,
you know,
yeah.
Like, that's how regularly it happens. And it's awful to see. It's horrible to see. And as I said to your colleague last week as well, Niall, even as the, you know, maybe the bruises heal or the emotional distress of it, these videos are on the internet in perpetuity, and we need to break the links in it. Don't forward it on, don't share it, you know, report it. You have to be the person that you'd want to be there for you if you were in that situation.
Yeah, forwarding these things is you're complicit in as well, Greg. And, you know, you're getting, you know, no kudos for forwarding on a video. If you see the video, just delete it, and maybe you get to send a person back to message saying, listen, this is
why are you sending me that?
Yeah, yeah, I don't
exactly.
want to see that, yeah.
And young people are great, and if they're empowered with the information, they'll do that. And those videos are available on the on Gardaí Síochána O'Connor Facebook page, and they're really well done, very, very well produced, and do capture the reality of that situation. And, you know, I know there's not a load of 13 to 19-year-olds listening to this programme, so it's up to granny and granddad or mum and dad or aunts and uncles
yeah.
to sort of have that quiet word.
And if there's any teachers listening, it's a nice wee sort of 15-minute
project, yeah.
project for them to maybe watch in school, you know.
Last on a Friday or something, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. Greg,
okay.
yeah.
Scams, Gardaí email scam this time.
Yeah, so this one we've talked about this many times before, and it takes many forms, but there's one that's kind of prevalent at the minute, and it's a fraud where a person receives correspondence claiming to be from ourselves and in Gardaí Síochána. It says that the individual is subject to ongoing legal proceedings. I know it sounds silly, Greg, but people are clicking on these links.
But it shocks you see.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, you go, right, I need to get ahead of this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I suppose it's this one is in relation to identification data has been found on your device, whatever, and it relates to child abuse images and similar offences. And people get scared, and maybe they want to find out more and see what's going on or what's this about. This is wrong. So they click on the link. So our advice to help anybody become a victim of fraud is don't respond to any unsolicited email seeking personal, financial or security advice. Never click on a link or attachment in an unsolicited email. And if you believe the email is from a genuine source, verify this independently on the email sender. We will never contact you via email and look for information, Greg. Again, contact any Garda station and we'll verify.
Yeah, it's just not how it's done. And other people are receiving emails purporting to be from investigators that are trying to sort out the estate of a deceased person, you know, off the back of some of these shows that are on there. And again,
yeah.
People click out of curiosity.
Yeah, and if you have clicked on these links and you're a bit worried about it, call into the Garda station yeah. and we'll have a look at it.
There's no shame in that at all. Right, I'm already getting messages and texts about a firework annoyance. I'm sure you and your colleagues are well across this.
Yeah, again, this is the seasonal headache that we have this time of year. And again, it's more the annoyance of a Greg for innocent people that are maybe trying to get a bit of sleep, and the whole kind of lawlessness that it portrays when you have fireworks being lit off at all times of the day and night. So we want to urge anyone who's thinking about buying or using fireworks at Halloween, just have a think about it. You know, there's so many horrific life-changing injuries that are sustained at Hallam. And we've had that in Donegal. You know, people lost fingers, etc., with bangers and fireworks. They're not only dangerous, but there's very severe penalties. It's a very serious offence when it comes to, we take it very seriously, Greg, and anyone found guilty of an offence of igniting or an illegal firework, throwing an ignited firework at a person or property, or possession indeed of illegal fireworks for sale or supply, the penalties are fines of up to €10,000 and 5 years imprisonment. So it's what they call an indictable offence. It's a very serious offence, Greg. So please act responsibly and alert ourselves if you come across the use or sale of any fireworks. Contact any Garda station at any time.
Yep, so if you're hearing them at 2 o'clock in the morning, Letterkenny, Buncrana, Milford and Ballyshannon are all 24/7 Garda stations, so they can be contacted at that point. Now to some questions, and often we get questions and it's confusing whether it's a civil matter or a criminal matter, or if it's a council responsibility or not, and maybe you can cast some light on this one. A dog is constantly barking in my estate. It has to be tied up. It's barking morning, noon and night. What can we do?
Yeah, this is again a very common one that we come across. A lot of people call the garage in relation to this. It's excessive dog barking, which causes a nuisance to any person, is an offence. But there's a procedure to go through, Greg, in relation to getting this to a conclusion. Your district court can make an order requiring the reduction of excessive barking by a dog, and can limit the number of dogs that can be kept on a premises. Because sometimes when there's more than one dog winds the other dog up and they're all barking at each other. Excuse me. So, and the court can direct that a dog be delivered to a dog warden as an unwanted dog. So it's up to the individual. You don't really need to contact the guards about it. It's not really a criminal matter, but you can make a complaint yourself about excessive barking to the district court under the noise regulations. So you can call to the district court there and wherever your court is.
Is there anything you need to do before you take that step?
Yes, indeed. So the first thing you have to do is you have to let the dog owner know that you're making a complaint. So, and sometimes that just resolves the issue because people don't want it to go that far. I know some people might not want to confront a neighbour or whatever, but if you're able to do
it's
it...
It's the quality of life as well too, isn't it?
It has to be considered.
Sometimes you have to say, right, I don't want to upset my neighbour, but I can't sleep at night, and what's the story with these dogs?
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to make that step, don't you?
And not even at night time, because, Greg, there's a lot of people working shift work and stuff, even ourselves there,
sure,
and
if
a dog barking during the day can be just as bad, you know?
That's true, yeah.
So the procedure is you complete a form under, it's called Section 108 of the Control of Dogs Act. You'll get that from the district court, and you fill that in, and they'll give you advice then on how to proceed.
Didn't know that existed, actually. That's quite interesting. Can you drive your car if you're out of an MCT test, but you've booked the test? Now, I think there's a little bit of hangover from COVID here, and what was and wasn't, and any lenience that was given, right? So my car, the test ran out today, didn't realise it, I should have. I've booked it. They've told me my appointment's in 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Can I drive around with that booking note as if I'm covered with an NCT?
Well, Greg, if you look at the NCT website, they still have up in relation to the COVID regulations and the grace periods and stuff for COVID regulations. But as far as we're concerned and your insurance company is concerned, if you're in an accident and you've no NCT, even if you're on your way to the NCT centre, you're not covered to drive. Your insurance will not cover you to drive a car that has no NCT. You know, technically, if your car's out of NCT, be it a day, a week, a month or 6 months, you're supposed to tow it to the NCT centre, get your NCT, and then you can drive it away.
All right, okay. Also, too, we talk about, you know, not using your phone because it's an electronic device, or your tablet, or your whatever it might be. Now, a caller is wondering, is a vape classified as an electronic device? So if you're pulling on your vape whilst driving, are you infringing the law?
I suppose in relation to this one, no. You're allowed to vape when you're driving, same as smoking. Obviously, you know, it's up to you. But, you know, some of these vapes, Greg, you see them, they're letting off an awful cloud of smoke or whatever it is, steam or whatever. And it can impair your visibility. If your windows are up and you're letting off this puff of smoke and you can't see within a couple of seconds, you know, if you met, met a guard and...
They could make a call on that.
They could make a call. They could classify it as driving when you're distracted. So you could get a fixed penalty notice for that. I know it might seem harsh, but that's the law, unfortunately, Greg.
Okay, listen, great stuff as always. Thank you so much, Niall. I really appreciate it. So that was Garda Niall Maguire from the Fallcarragh Garda Station, who called in with us for today's edition the 24th of September 2024 of Community Garda information. You'll be able to watch back on our socials and on Garda Síochána Síochána's Facebook page later. You can listen to it on the podcast as well. And it's back live with you after the 10 o'clock news next Tuesday. Now, we're joined in studio by Michael McGill. Good morning, Michael. Thank you so much for your time.
Good morning, Greg. Thank you for your time as well.
Good to see you up. The Northwest Special Olympic Sports Club is seeking people who are interested in coaching and volunteering. Now, two of your great servants are retiring.
They are. They're pulling back.
Okay.
They're going to be there to help out.
But the transition.
The transition, yeah. Exactly. As you know, Nicky's been there probably the best part of 20 years. Pat's been there very similar. Mm. Really great servants to the club. And as you know, the club is self-funded, so there's no help other than for World Games, where Special Olympics Ireland will sponsor that or, you know, fund it.
All right, before we dig a bit deeper into the role of the volunteer,
yeah.
Talk to us a little bit about the Northwest Special Olympic Sports Club and how many members it has and the work that it does or any information you think is relevant.
Well, the sports club itself has somewhere in the region of about 40-odd members.
Wow.
Between basketball and football, right? They have three football teams. They have two basketball teams. And as you know, last year, their basketball team went to the World Games and won gold. Their football team has been successful as well over the years, you know. We've had a lot of success for such a small club from a very small beginning. There's been, I mean, going back to even Brady Lynch's time, who won gold, and then you had Patrick Quinlivan, you had Vicky, you had several other members that have won abroad. You know, they've been, some of them have been to Dubai, America, Berlin, I think some of them went to China.
Yeah, it can open up some amazing opportunities for not just not just participants, of course, but coaches as well.
The coaches, exactly. Mm. And most of the coaches, all our coaches that work in the club, there's two Tommies, there's Bill, there's Nicky and Pat. They're all qualified coaches, like, you know, to a certain level of coaching. They're actually quite high level of coaching on football and basketball, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about it, Greg, really is it's a social aspect. It's a taking part. It's not about the winning and the losing. It's about taking part. A lot of people involved and athletes involved, you know, come with various different ADHD, autism, Down syndrome, you know, intellectual disabilities. And a lot of them they're not used to being out on their own. Maybe they're out with a family member and they're afraid when they start into the club and get in. But once they get in and meet the other players and the other members, it gives them that as a social aspect.
And an independence too.
Independence.
Yeah, when it suits, obviously, yes. The individual.
Yes.
It must be lovely to see that progress in people, Michael, from, you know, the first tentative arrival to see them growing in confidence and independence or growing in whichever way they're able to grow.
Yes, it is, because you'll see, often seen members joining the club very shy, very backward. And, you know, after a few weeks or maybe a couple of months in the club, you know, starting to come out of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard as a parent, you know, as a parent myself of a special needs athlete, you're always worried, you're inclined to wrap them up in cotton wool a wee bit,
yeah.
And do everything for them.
Yeah.
Whereas if they can be trained or taught how to go out and do things for themselves, and that's where the sports.
But these are transferable skills.
They are transferable skills.
So, you know, from the court, yes. Or the pitch,
yes.
To other aspects of life.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't believe it, when they come in and they're in there for a few weeks, they don't need their parent anymore.
Mm.
And they do need them, but in a sense,
I know what you mean. You see them pulling back a little.
You see them pulling back a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know.
So in terms of the club itself, it runs on a Saturday morning between 11 and 1.
That's
and
right, for basketball.
Yeah, and then Wednesday from 6 p.m. till 8 p.m. Wednesday night.
That's football.
Right. Now, the coaches and volunteers, are they the same individual? Or are you looking for coaches and volunteers, if that makes sense?
Well, they can be either or. If anybody has any coaching skills, like, so if you take the likes of, let's say, the ATU,
mm-hmm.
they have a very good basketball team there. They have a very good soccer team. They also have a good hurling team and a good Gaelic team. There's guys and girls in there that are working, you know, that might be training, say, for whatever, nursing or something.
Yeah.
And to come in and work with special needs gives them a great insight.
Fantastic for the CV.
And the other thing for the CV, the fact that they're volunteering on a CV, as you know yourself, Greg, always a big plus when you go to any company, you know?
Yeah, because it's an opportunity for your own personal growth, and that's what your future employee recognises as well. Now, in terms of travel and what have you, you mentioned that, and this is important because it would have to suit the right applicants as well. There are away games and what have you, are there?
Yes.
Would people need to be available for that?
Well, the thing is, if we get enough volunteers, we only have away games, say, about 5 or 6 times a year, right? And they would be as far, they go as far, with us being in Ulster, as usually Antrim, Belfast.
Mm-hmm.
So it means a Saturday could be taken up from, say, 8 o'clock in the morning to 4 o'clock in the evening. And to have people that could do that, maybe if you have enough volunteers, it means that any one person might only be doing that maybe once every couple of months.
Yeah, I get you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The idea is they need a carer with them who's qualified, that has Garda vetted, that has the safe training, you know.
Well, just in relation to that, Garda vetting is fantastic because it protects the individual and it protects the younger people or the older people, wherever it is. So that's fine. That's good. That has to be done.
Yes.
Now, in terms of the safeguarding course,
yes,
will you? Can you at the club support people in that safeguarding course?
We can, of course.
Excellent.
And we'll support them and we'll give them information on it. There's actually, you know, there's actually a volunteer, the Donegal Volunteer Group, who are contactable online.
Mm-hmm.
You can do the Garda vetting online now as well. And Garda vetting online is very simple once somebody shows you how to do it. Because basically all it asks is, where were you born? Where did you live? Let's say they said to you, where did you live? And you said, well, I lived in Sligo and now I live in Letterkenny. How long did you live in Sligo? From 1999 to 2005. And that's it. And you put in the rest of your details, your PPS number and that goes through and the guards vet that. They would check with the local guard there in Sligo, was there any record, or the local guard there in Letterkenny. Or if you were further abroad, say you were Northern Ireland or you were in England, then they'd check with Interpol or the police abroad. That's it.
Which is standard practice now. Standard, I think, practice. When it was first introduced, people were like, they saw it as some sort of a questioning of their character. And I get that now, but we're at a point now where everyone understands why it's there and how important it is to safeguard everybody.
Yes.
Also, too, you know, since the last time maybe you were looking for coaches and volunteers, there's the population of Donegal has grown. There's people from different countries, and you're looking to reach them as well. A great way to get involved, or even maybe as members of the club, as well as you know, potential coaches or volunteers.
Of course, I mean, anybody that lives within the EU or the EEA, which is, you know, as you know, the two countries outside the EU, Liechtenstein and I think it's Iceland. There's 27 countries in the EU, and the plus them is 29. Anybody can come into the club. We don't care where they come from. You know, if they're part of the European community, they can prove who they are. Obviously, they would need ID and things like that. Everybody's welcome.
Mm-hmm.
We already have a couple of lads involved down there, you know, from different parts that are from different parts of Europe. But we would like more people in. There's a lot of people from Ukraine, a lot of people from Poland, Latvia. They're all very welcome to come into the club if they want to come in and help out, or if they have athletes or children or family members that are have disability, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, you know, it's about participating. It's not about winning and losing.
Exactly.
But obviously there are opportunities to qualify and reach the finals of games like the Olympic Paralympics, for an example.
Precisely.
So there are potential opportunities for people to get front row seats, effectively, and watch and cheer on their athletes right there presently. That's where you get a little bit of financial support, I'd imagine.
Exactly, yeah. For World Games.
Mm.
The thing about the Paralympics, the Paralympian could join us as special needs as well. And they could come and train with us if they wanted. As I said, the coaching is as A1, the quality of the coaching. We have coaches, like I said, that are very well qualified. We're also bringing a new thing on board now. We're bringing on golf as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got Michael Comerford, who actually works with McGurk's down here in Letterkenny now. And Michael is the world, he's been selected by the Irish Special Olympics.
It's astonishing, and perhaps it shouldn't be, it throws my ignorance, but it's astonishing the level to which these golfers, some of them without sight, are playing off single-digit handicaps. Like, it's really, really remarkable. So it's great to see that included, because I think that's a growing area of sport. And I've noted to quite a lot of people who have an acquired disability.
Yes.
take golf up.
Yes, yes.
You exactly. know, because yeah. they can participate they and, can. And it helps with all different elements of yeah. of recovery and dealing and coping. Right. So, I mean, listen, it's open to everyone, obviously, of age. But you think might be particularly suited maybe to someone who's retired, maybe early retirement, late retirement, a bit more time in their hands, has exactly. a history or background in coaching or volunteering or wants to explore those. It's never too late.
It's never too late, ever. I mean, everybody's welcome. It doesn't matter what their age, you know. They have to be over 16. That's the minimum age for to join the club and to be a coach or to be involved with the club, you know. But anything from there up is fine. Everybody's welcome.
There's a huge range of disabilities as well, so, from physical to learning disabilities. Right. It's incredibly broad church. Just I'm saying that to maybe mums and dads who think that their child could benefit from this.
Well, I mean, you've acquired brain injuries and things like that. There, mm-hmm. you know, you have like I said, the Paralympics where they may have a limb missing or whatever. You know, there's a group in America called the One Armed Bandits, right? They're a golfing group. They are absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
You want to see them hit a golf ball.
I know.
I play golf and it would put me to shame.
Yeah.
And I've got all my faculties, as the man says.
I love the way how they've chosen that name for themselves. It's great.
And they are spectacular to watch, and they have a great competition in America for it. I don't know if they have it here in Britain or Ireland or anywhere else. But everybody's welcome. There's a lot of people who retire young, you know, and they may want part-time work, or they might want to, you know, a lot of people from who have trained maybe in
psychiatric care. They don't want to go into the garden.
They don't want to go into the garden.
Do you know what I mean?
But maybe they're doing a part-time job as well. Yeah,
exactly.
But yeah. I mean, it's only as I said, you've only got 2 hours on a Saturday, 2 hours on a Wednesday. If you have 9 or 10 volunteers, they might only be in there on the club once a month,
yeah.
But they're welcome to come at any time and share, you know.
Well, listen, I think the way it is, it's a broad invitation from Michael here. If you want any more information, and I think that's your first port of call to ring up and say, look, I heard you chatting to Greg in Highland there,
yes.
And I'm just wondering, this is my situation. Well, go to email nwsoletterkenny@sosportsclub.ie. I'm going to do a course about email addresses.
I know, they're terrible.
Do you know what I mean? But I'm trying, Michael. But anyway, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll link all of this stuff on our Facebook, and if anyone wants this information, we can pass it on. Give us a call. We've got numbers for Pat and Nikki as well.
Yes.
And we've got that email address. It's nwsoletterkenny@sosportsclub.ie. But as I say, we've all that contact, and yes. we'll pass all that info. And it's clear, Michael, that you're looking forward to chatting to people.
Exactly. As I said, it's up on our own Facebook page and on our Special Olympics, and both Pat and Nikki's numbers are up on it as well. So there's no problem with that.
Brilliant.
And as I said, Pat's, I'll talk to anybody at any time. By the way, just on the 12th of October this year, from 10 in the morning to 2 p.m., we're going to have an open day.
Okay.
Up at the vestry, right? And the club, anybody that wants to come and inquire if they want to join the club or if they want to do anything, volunteer, they're more than welcome to come up, and we'll have a chat, and there'll be several of us there to talk to.
And I think, you know, as you say, we can be very protective of our children, our younger people, and don't necessarily say it's not for your child. Bring them to that. That's a perfect open day, because you've taught Michael of seeing people who have progressed very quickly through this with all different types of disabilities. So give it a go.
Give it a go.
So it's the 12th of October at the Vestry on what times?
On Saturday the 12th of October from 10 in the morning to 2 p.m.
Brilliant. Okay. Michael, thanks so much.
Thank you very much,
really
Greg.
Really appreciate it. Love chatting to you. Michael McGill there. Paula says, we can talk about Garda vetting, but how did a coach who was convicted of sex offences get a job as a tennis coach in the Butthole? Well, you see, the Butthole Tennis Club, we don't want to do anything to discourage people from getting Garda vetted or whatever, but at the same time, if someone takes the time to text in, I want to address that. Obviously, nothing is if you're vetted and you haven't been convicted of anything, nothing's going to show up. So it does once you're if you're found guilty of something after you've been vetted. Do you understand? Vetting's not going to flag that up. They say a lot of people are slipping through the cracks with the Garda vetting. That's not the case in the very case that you cited there. There just was no previous convictions, as far as I'm aware. And as I say, you know, even I don't want to do anything that would discourage anyone from. We need volunteers. Vetting is part of it, and 99.9% of people have the best of intentions and fly through the vetting. So, as I say, I get your point. That's why I read it out. But also at the same time, our fear or our reaction, I think, has to be proportionate